This is The Think Tank, talking about the major political, economic, and social issues of the week. With Dr. Mike O'Neill and hosted by Mike Russell. KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com. The Think Tank.
All right, let's kick this thing off. Doc O'Neill, here's the deal. How long have we been doing this show?
Year three. We're at year three.
We're in year three.
We're gonna hit show 100 up. I got them all counted up. It's going to be in a month or so.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, feels like 1,000. I kid because I love. So after 3 years, finally we get some national respect around here. Doc O'Neill was invited to be a guest on The Daily Show. That's with that John Stewart wacko. What was this all about? What happened here? How'd this come about?
Well, they called me up. And I got to tell you, one aspect of it just blew me away. You think of this as just a comedy show. They call me up, and there's a preliminary interview that goes over an hour. This is just to see if you know anything. And then they send documents.
And then they continued clipping. With you? Nice.
Oh, but they continued, yeah.
See what I did?
Anyway, they show up at my house. By prearrangement. This is in between, by the way.
Oh, I thought it was like a sneaky, like,
thing.
No, not at all.
Yeah, no, but the, in between, there's, you know, more conversations, multiple conversations, sending background documents, things like that, making sure I know something. I may or may not, but I've been a consultant, so I know I'm a quick study. So
there
anyway,
yes.
So they arrive, and they're there for 5 hours. They're doing the interview for 4 hours.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, 4 hours. Al Madrigal, the comedian.
Oh, yes. I like Al. We've talked to Al before.
And they come in, and it is an entourage. There's like 8 guys, about 6 video technical guys, lighting guys. They come in, and they do stuff that even the network news doesn't do. And I've been on network news. Here's the difference. The network news comes out. You're looking at a crew of maybe 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. The local guys used to be 2, used to have a cameraman. And a reporter.
Right, we see that here. Yeah.
Now mostly you see a reporter with a small camera. And set the camera up. I mean, the cameras are smaller, and everybody's trying to save money. And the way they do the shots on local with one camera is they'll set the camera up and they'll do the interview. And then when it's all done, they'll move the camera on the other side and they'll just take some shots of the reporter looking over your shoulder.
Sure.
So
right.
It looks like you've got, these guys do it for real. They're taking 2 real cameras in live time. They go into my home office, and it's a pretty good size. It's not big enough because it's got to handle 8 people. I got a living room, family room, and they're taking over the whole room. Move out all the furniture. They set up lighting, the stuff. And 4 hours, by the way, I'm probably, you know, articulate and erudite for, you know, 3 hours and 58 minutes, and a blithering idiot for 2 minutes. I got my idea,
that's going to air. I like that.
And multiple takes on, they do what some people cynically believe the news operations do, which I have never seen, which is they're looking for just the one thing. So they'll ask the same question 6 times.
Yeah.
I've never encountered that in a news interview. And first of all, typical news interview, even the networks that come in, they'll come in for maybe 15, 20 minutes. Maybe if somebody really is over the top, it's a half an hour, and they're going to use 30 seconds
sure.
or a minute out of this. This is 4 hours, and they're going to use, again, they're going to use 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes tops.
Right.
Probably not that. And it was funny. They did a whole series of not only my responses, but also Al's, you know, reactions to that. He went through a long list of these things. If you've seen the show, he raises his eyebrows and says, "Oh, really?" And then he goes through the whole series of all those kinds of reactions. So this is going to be a heavily edited document for sure.
They want him
doing that reaction. In the same
what
physical
What was the topic?
Setting.
What were you talking about?
There is a, and this is actually a pretty big deal that's gotten really minimal attention here. There's a land swap in the Globe, Miami area. There's some forest land, and a consortium of 2 of the largest mining companies in the world have been negotiating for years to get their hands on a piece of land that is in the Forest Service domain.
Yep.
That is adjacent to an Indian reservation, and there's a claim that it's going to impact sacred land. And we're talking a $64 billion thing. You may remember some years ago, we had a congressman from Flagstaff, Rick Renzi, who's now in jail.
Well, most of them should be.
Well, he ended up, well, in his case, it was a little more explicit maybe than most. He basically was saying that unless you buy some stuff at an overvalued price of this friend of mine, I'm gonna make sure this deal doesn't go through.
So basically, he was a politician.
Is over the line. Yeah. This was over the line. There's a reason he's in jail. Well, let me tell you how this deal finally
Good.
Got through.
9/11. Okay.
John McCain put it into the Defense Authorization Act.
Duh. Right. He's a politician.
So
right.
We want to defend America. In order to vote against this deal, you had to vote against the defense
of
America.
That's right. I hate defending America.
So now, and he made a statement about it. He said, well, you know, this is an amount equal to 25% of the annual copper production in the United States. It's a mine, by the way, that will last for 40 years. It's big.
Yeah.
They are estimating $64 billion, thousands of jobs.
I'm going to be the state mine inspector. Okay. You're talking my ball game right here,
well,
buddy.
Yeah, this will make that job a whole lot bigger. Anyway,
it.
So it goes into the National Defense Act. He has the support of the entire Republican delegation, plus Ann Kirkpatrick, who's significant because it's her district now. Mm-hmm. She has the old Renzi district. So they had some bipartisan level of support. And, of course, it's the National Defense Act, and so it sails through. Now, they are talking a 10-year process even at that. You've got to do environmental statements and a whole lot of other stuff. But, frankly, I think this I researched this, and there's been a few articles in the Republic, but for something of this size, I think it's something we frankly ought to do a show on sometime. There's some big issues there.
I'm all about it, and, especially I'll come on as a guest when I'm state mine inspector.
That's job security
See?
For you.
Yeah.
So, but I got to tell you the thing.
So why is the Daily Show worried about it? They just saw this in the defense budget, and they thought, well, this is silly. Let's go talk to Arizona.
Well, I asked them about that because that caught my attention. They said, John Stewart is incensed about this, short version. And this is why, you know, they only have 2 weeks to go.
Right.
And this, they say, is likely to run in the last week of his show when their audience is going to be sky high. So,
nice.
So he is convinced that this is a raw deal. And
this still blows my mind, because why? Why? Why would John Stewart worry about this nonsense? Why would he be incensed about it? This happens in every single bill that goes through every president's desk ever.
You know, I think their position, and I got this tone in a lot of the questions. We say that we're attuned to religious values, and that those are ascendant. And you know, if this is a Christian holy site, we don't mess with it. But this is just Indian sacred land, so you know it's billions of dollars, and the heavier level of worship is for the dollar.
Let's take a quick break. I'll call shenanigans when we come back.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
Doc O'Neill's going to be on the Daily Show. That one, the one on Comedy Central, the one that started way, 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 way back in the day before Jon Stewart got it and screwed it all up. Here's the deal. They called Doc O'Neill and they said, we got a problem out there in Arizona because John McCain put into the defense spending bill something about a land swap that has to do with a mine that's going to tick off a bunch of Native Americans. Okay? And apparently Jon Stewart got all upset about this and he wants to talk to Doc O'Neill. If that's the way we get Doc O'Neill on the cable news networks, rock on. We'll do it. I'm all about that. But Jon Stewart from the... He evolved to this, by the way. He became Jon Stewart, the host of the Daily Show. He was just a comedian. He's a funny guy.
I they've been rerunning on the web. They've been doing every show they've done for the last 17 years.
Yeah.
They've been running them consecutively, and I locked onto that occasionally. And the older shows were just sort of generic comedy.
Yes.
They were very
It's on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
The majority of Americans in the huge demo, let's just say around 25 to 30, get their news from The Daily Show.
Yeah.
A comedy show on Comedy Central.
Okay.
It's silly. The fact that a president would sit his booty down and this chair on The Daily Show on Comedy Central is embarrassing to the office, period. Period.
Return to my observations.
All right, go back to your observations.
With these folks,
I'm just socialism nonsense.
I,
John Stewart,
encountered far more thoroughness on an issue like this than I have in any news, including network news interviews. I thought about this, actually, and I talk about the amount of preparation time that was done. I can think of three or four times when it was more than 35 minutes. There was this, which is probably longer than any. The second longest one, or tied for second, there was an afternoon I spent with a fellow from The Economist.
Okay.
The British news magazine.
I love The Economist.
And we spent an afternoon. Now, it was over a long lunch, so that might have but basically, guy came in and I basically picked my brain on 30 years of Arizona history. And the third one that spent an extraordinary amount of time with me was Terry Green Sterling years ago.
Wow.
It was just an ordinary, I think she was working for the New Times. I know mm-hmm. she was working for the New Times at that time. And I forget what the story was, but what I remember to this day is, my God, everybody else blows in for 15 minutes. They grab a quote and they leave. Mm-hmm. She talked to me for hours.
Yeah.
Those were the three. And I've been on like the network news, and that was, I mean, the only difference between that and the local stuff is that they come in with a couple more technical people. They do better lighting. They do better sound.
Sure. Okay.
But they're still, it's those are come in, grab the quote, you know, get
here's
a sound
bite. What comes down to. I think Jon Stewart wouldn't hide behind this. I don't think anyone would hide. Colbert would not hide behind mm-hmm. this. David Letterman wouldn't hide behind this. When they are doing an interview, they are comedians. They understand it takes, there's more prep. When they do a stand-up show, there is years of writing that goes yeah. into that. It isn't just, you know, let me write some jokes on a piece of paper and get up and do stand-up. Not the way it goes. The good ones have been prepping for years.
In fact,
They understand the preparation and the timing that's involved. That's why they have multiple cameras, this and that. It's comedic timing that they're worried about, not just punching news through.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I saw that when I went back and listened, watched some of the older Daily Shows. They really weren't that good. I mean, he has evolved over a period of time. But let me address the quote, just a comedian. I think this is an absolutely serious guy running a very serious show and using comedy as a vehicle to it. And comedy, you know, a very powerful thing. If you yeah. can ridicule the ridiculous.
I'm not disagreeing with you on that to an extent. I'll tell you that it is, he has evolved from, look, oh, I'm the funny guy on a pretend news show, to I have an opportunity to really, really, really impact young people, and it drives me nuts because he's pawning it off as news. It bothers me.
I had a long discussion with one of his senior producers just on that point. I mean, we were reflecting on he's leaving and what's he going to do and all that. And he said he got into that show about like 16 years ago.
Yeah, forever.
And he was told, you know, here's what you have to do, and basically sort of followed the program, and it was frankly mediocre. And what he said, what I see in what he's done, is he just started listening to his gut, and he developed a persona over a period of time. And if you look at the old shows, it's just, you know, it's celebrity interviews. They get a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It evolved into a satirical treatment of the news, not unlike, I don't remember, there was a great old show, it was only ran for a short period. That was the week that was. It's way, way before your mm-hmm. time, but it was comedy, but it was political, it was satire. You know, this is like, I see him as up there with, say, a Mort Saul. Colbert certainly tried. It's gonna be interesting to see.
Well, Colbert came from his show.
Yeah, yeah. It was an offshoot of it. These are serious guys. Now Colbert goes on everybody's gonna be interested to see when he goes on the Late Show. He's not coming back in character. That's going to be a completely different animal.
Yes, it will be. Going back to I want to stay with The Daily Show. And the reason why I watch the show, I love the show. As much as it is so far off the rails left for me, it's just silly. But what angers me about it is that it's disguised as real news. It's not real news. It's not. It's one man's opinion about the news. It is a Fox News show on the left. It's an MSN. It's an Ed Schultz is what it is. It's a man rambling about his opinion on something, but they're pawning it off as news. And
pawning it as comedy when in really, yes, it absolutely has a point of view. on things. And I think the analogy between that and Fox is a fair one. Did you see the years ago they had a debate between Jon Stewart and Bill O'Reilly?
Oh,
it's fabulous. It's by the way,
it's a live show.
It's on the web.
It's a live. People are buying tickets for it.
Yeah, it's a live show. It's you can Google it. You can see it on YouTube.
Two mega egos on one stage.
And,
it's unbelievable.
And they were really good. Mm-hmm. I would be terrified to go up against Jon Stewart because there is nothing as incisive as a real comedian. Because to me, to be a satirical comedian, you need a kind of a deeper understanding of life than anybody. And that's what you play with. And that's what, you know, that gives you the sarcastic comment requires a great deal of understanding what's really going on.
Right. And I think it all comes down to preparation, which goes back to your point. And your point was that these guys came in from The Daily Show and it was a production.
It was at both the physical level of physical production, the amount of people they're doing it, but just the intellectual side of it, the amount of prior discussion. They didn't walk in and talk to me wondering whether this guy would be helpful or not. I'd spent hours on the phone talking to the producer.
And when are we airing this?
This is going to be on the last week of the show, which is the 2nd through the 6th. They haven't said an exact
2nd through the 6th.
Of August, yes.
That's right.
And the cool thing is that's his last week. My guess is the audience has doubled.
Hopefully.
So very
all
cool.
Right.
Very
all right.
Cool.
Well, good job, Doc. Hopefully you made us proud. Hopefully you don't look like a blithering idiot.
Well, they had more than opportunity to do. I'm not so sure.
That's awesome.
I'm not so sure because, believe me, this is going to be heavily edited.
All right, let's get to some serious news. We'll come back right here on The Think Tank.
The Think Tank. KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
He just can't get out of his own way, but I think to a lot of people that is a refreshing thing. And the reason why it's refreshing is because he's saying what he wants to say. He doesn't care if he doesn't get the job. And the man we're talking about, obviously, is Donald Trump running for the presidency of the United States. Now, even when he was here in Arizona, and then after he left Arizona, he seems to have it out for John McCain.
That blew my mind because, you know.
Which part? The part where he said, because let's back it up. Right. He said two things. First thing he said was, John McCain can lose. He'll probably lose in 2016. If somebody runs against him, he will lose in 2016. He'll lose in the primary, is what he said. He said that here in Arizona. So, and by the way, I don't disagree with him. I think he's right.
McCain is going to lose his renomination?
No. I said if the right person steps up against him, yeah, he's vulnerable, is what he was saying. He was saying it in a nutshell. I think so, yes.
The right person would, and then we're getting a little off topic here, but I'd say the right person would step up against McCain if he was truly vulnerable. The fact that nobody of stature has stepped up suggests to me that the assessment is that he is secure.
Well, okay, I still don't disagree with the guy.
Because if he was vulnerable, and the right person would be, there are two or three sitting congressmen mm-hmm. who are viable.
Schweikert,
absolutely.
Salmon.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Grosser, maybe.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're sitting congressmen, so they are people of some stature, all of whom have one thing in common. They all have safe seats in Congress that they would have to give up in order to challenge John McCain.
Yet the point he was making was he isn't all that, and he isn't the greatest senator to walk the earth. He could probably lose if he ran again if the right person. That was the point he was making. Not, I've looked at the field, and I've noticed that if XYZ runs, he's going to be beat. That's Donald Trump's statement, and I agree with it.
No love lost. What I think is more staggering is the statement that he made about McCain was A, wrong, and B, stupid. Okay, John McCain is not a hero. The statement is on the face of it, by I think anybody's judgment, erroneous. But you know what I find really really appalling is, let me contrast that with the statement that he made a few days before about Hispanic immigrants to this country. He said they're rapists, they're criminals.
Okay, hold on. Wait, you're paraphrasing. If you're going to say a quote, we need a quote.
Okay.
And what happened was very serious. All he had to do, he was obviously reading his speech. This was during his announcement that he was going to run for the presidency of the United States, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he obviously got two lines mixed up, and that's all he had to say because it was blatant when you go back and look at it. Because he said that they're coming over in droves. They're rapists.
Mexico
he said, hold on. He said, they're rapists. And then he said, and, you know, hey, and some of them are good people.
Maybe. Okay. Some of them some are good, maybe people, good people. Maybe.
So obviously he got those two mixed up. They're coming over. They're good people. Some of them are rapists. Obviously he got them mixed up.
No, he didn't. Yeah, but he didn't say some of them are rapists.
I understand. What
and
I'm
he's
saying,
had weeks to back. And I think that what is appalling to me about that statement is that statement left at unfettered is the classic definition of racism. If that statement is not racist, what is it?
That's an insensitive statement.
That is racism.
Racism is using your power above another race. He is not using his power above another race. He is not feeling superior over another race. He is talking about people that break into this country and commit crimes. That's what he's talking about. That's not racism.
He's talking about Mexican immigrants. He's saying they break into this
country. Yeah. Racially insensitive, I'll give you that.
But then, Mike, what is a racist statement if that isn't? That is not a textbook racist statement.
It is a racially insensitive statement. It is not racist. He is not a racist. You're calling Donald Trump a racist.
I'm saying that's a racist statement. On the face of it, if you were to write a textbook to say, what does a racist statement look like, that's it. If that isn't, then what is a racist statement?
I'm not going to give you what one you on air. I'm going to get locked out of this building.
Okay, they're rapists. You know, it is taking and characterizing an entire group of people and putting them in a negative light. And then you've got this saying, well, some of them are good, maybe. I haven't had that proved to me, but maybe.
You've got to pull the quote. You've actually got to pull the quote. You got the internet there. Go ahead and pull the quote because I want the actual quote because so we got it here. But okay, so let's go to this. I have an actual quote right here that I want to run by you because it was so appalling that Donald Trump said, and I'm on record saying this, he's not going to be the president of the United States. I'm not voting for him. I'm not supporting him. I'm not donating it to his campaign. But I'll say this. We talked about Democrats having things like this wash right over them. Bye-bye. No big deal. I was just being funny. Sorry. I was just joking. And it just moves on. Republicans say this, it ruins their entire career. Al Franken said something so much more egregious, so much just appalling about John McCain, and it just blows on by. It's even being brought up again, and they're like, No, Al Franken was joking. He was being satirical. That's it.
Al Franken sat on his radio show, and he said that to John McCain. John McCain was there. They both laughed. If had Trump immediately after making that...
This is not from him. He's talking about McCain, not to McCain.
He later repeated it on his radio show, the exact same statement. They both laughed. Here's the difference with Trump. Had Trump made the statement about McCain and then immediately backed off and said, well, that was a joke, obviously, then it would have been nothing.
He was talking to Salon. He was being interviewed by Salon magazine. He was being interviewed by Salon. This was not to John McCain.
You're talking about Franken?
I'm talking about I have tremendous respect for McCain, but I don't buy the whole war hero thing. Anybody can be captured. I thought the idea was to capture them. As far as I am concerned, he sat out the war. End quote. I mean, that are you? He sat out the war?
First of all, he was not a senator at that. That was the words of a then comedian.
And Trump is not a president right now, is he? Trump's just a bit. That's the words of a businessman.
No, it's a presidential candidate.
He's nothing right now. He's absolutely nothing right now. He's a businessman. He's Donald Trump.
No, he's somebody holding himself out to the entire population saying that I am a suitable president of the United States.
When did Al Franken become a senator? Was it 08? No, it was before then.
Let's see.
No, it was before then. This was 2000.
It was after 2000. I don't know the exact year, but it was after 2000.
He went on. I consider him here. He goes on and on. It's bad. That just blows off. It's the same thing we talked about. Hillary versus New Jersey, Chris Christie. He slows down a bridge. You know, his political career is over. She is in the middle of Benghazi. She's going to be the president of the United States. It's a Republican versus Democrat thing, and I don't understand how anyone can walk away from this.
It is not Republican versus. Here is what the difference is. If you make a statement and then you back off a bit and you say it's a joke, generally we accept that. It might have been a lame joke, but it was a joke. Trump has never said that was a joke. Al Franken has. That's the difference.
Okay. Then, all right. Then if we're going to stay on the topic, let's go Chris Christie and Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton throws away 30,000 emails on a private server. She's still in the race. Chris Christie slows a bridge down. He's not qualified to be the president of the United States. It's just, and I'm
saying, wait a minute. If we're going to get parallel, there has been this furor over Hillary Clinton and a private email server.
Yes.
Okay. Governor Bush, Governor Jeb Bush did the same thing. We've heard not one word about it.
Yes, we have heard a lot of words about it. He didn't deny it.
Yeah.
He didn't deny it.
They both fundamentally did the same thing.
He deleted everything and threw everything away?
Yeah.
No, he did no such thing. He had a private email server. That's
which
right.
is what she had too.
Exactly. And he admitted that. Yeah. And he admitted that. Yeah. That's fine. She denied it, then admitted it, and then said that, it crashed. And then it deleted. It doesn't bother. It's like water off a duck's butt. It's no big deal to a Democrat.
It has been talked about incessantly.
I haven't heard a thing about it today.
Turn on Fox News for 3 minutes. It's all Hillary's email all the time.
People that are watching Fox News are not going to vote for Hillary. It doesn't matter.
I agree with that.
Okay,
point.
And people that watch MSNBC are not going to vote for any Republican candidate. Are we there?
No.
We're basically there.
Pretty close,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So there. Did you find your quote yet?
No, but we'll do that during the break.
Okay.
We'll find it.
All right, we're going to find it. So let's do this. Let's go ahead and take that break, and let's get back, because the battle will continue, I tell you. Over the man known as Donald Trump and these Republicans and these Democrats. We're going to get to the bottom of it on Think Tank next.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
It's good to see Doc can work the interwebs. I'm very excited about that. You found the quote.
Yeah, this new fancy stuff. It's not like it was hard to find. It's out there.
I know.
Here it is. Okay. Mexico sends its people. They're not sending their best.
Right.
I'm reading the exact quote.
Okay, good.
They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. And then we get to the core part. They're bringing drugs. Mm-hmm. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
Okay. Now, that is where I said, and that's the end quote. That's where I said that's easy to – obviously, he was reading that backwards. That's no speech writer would write, they're all rapists. And some of them are good people. It would probably be they're good people and some of them are rapists.
If at any point Donald Trump had backed down and said, well, obviously I misspoke. I had that reversed. Right. This thing would have blown over.
I've said that since day one. He just steps up and says that. I agree with that.
But the fact that he hasn't done that is, I think, what's absolutely telling. And that's what makes this statement unambiguously a racist statement. If you had backed it off and said, the back off is obvious and simple. There's a lot of people. There's millions of people coming. There is a rapist among them. Okay.
Right.
As there are in groups of a million people.
So here's where I'm going against your blatantly racist statement. Not your blatantly racist statement. Your statement that is blatantly racist.
I don't know what a racist statement is.
Hold the phone. Everything. If you look at his track record from the minute he said, I'm running for the president of the United States, he has said some crazy things all the way through. Just keep going. You can go to any of his speeches, his little tour stops, any of that kind of stuff. You've heard them all.
Yep.
He has not ever, ever, ever said, I'm sorry, or I won't, or I'm going to walk that back, or I made a mistake. It is not what he does. He is a very firm. He said, I believe in God. I just don't ask him for forgiveness. He does not apologize. My father was like this. I'm sorry. My stepdad was like this. He always said that. He always said, don't apologize. Don't apologize. Just don't do it again. He just move on. It's who he is. I don't think the man is a racist. I really, really don't think he's a racist. So I just think, especially if you look at people from the Northeast. People in the Northeast don't understand the immigration debate. They have no clue what's going on with the immigration debate. They probably buy into all the hype that they see in the media, and it's just this giant wall of people that just keeps marching on through the border. That's what they believe because they're not here. They don't see it. They don't get involved with the Hispanic culture and the people that have come here from Mexico. They are not. They don't know. So they're just saying stuff off the top of their head that they see. They're regurgitating is all they're doing.
Well, let me make a distinction we have. Is someone a racist? That For that, I have to go into their heart and know what they feel, and there's no way that I can do that.
Or do they have racist tendencies?
So, and I never said that. What I said is that statement is a racist statement, open and shut. Now, as far as what's in somebody's heart, I don't know how you evaluate that other than what they say. I think the statement needs to be walked back.
I think a lot of the statements need to be walked back. But then at that same time, he runs the risk of being just another politician. I'm going to say it, but then I'm going to say, no. I was just fooling. Yeah. I was just being silly.
And you know,
silly.
I think that's part of his appeal.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a guy who has said something, and obviously it does resonate with a significant group of people. And I think his fans love the fact that he hasn't walked it back.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that not that his fans are racist. I think his fans are, well, it's about dang time somebody's just going to, I don't care how crazy the statement is. I want to hear what he has to say, and I'm glad he's not walking it back. Good, that's him. Fine.
There's anger out there. I think a lot of it's irrational. I mean, for example, the belief that we're being overrun by hordes of people from the South, when in fact, since 2007, net immigration from Mexico is zero.
Documented immigration. And yes, Obama was the deporter in chief. I get it. Yeah. They called him the deporter in chief.
Yeah, Alfredo Gutierrez despises him for that reason.
Absolutely.
Because of how, frankly, how ruthless he has been.
I'm fair. That is if not nothing the, else, I'm fair. Yeah. Is fair. He has deported, Obama's deported a ton of people. He really has.
Yeah. More but than any president.
But when we're talking about net, this is documented net. This isn't the stuff we don't see coming over.
This is best estimate. I mean,
best estimate is zero. Okay.
And relying on the same sources that we relied on to say, you know, when it was hundreds of thousands a year.
The government. Yes. Yeah. They're doing such a bang up job. But I think going back to Trump, I think that this is, there's something, there's a sliver of him. And we discussed this last week that there's something. There's something that resonates with every single person. You might, Doc, you might hate the guy. I'm not going to ask you if you do or not, but there's something about Trump that when you see him on TV, you're like, okay, I got to listen to what he's got to say. Because there's something that we all can relate to with Trump.
You know who is like that in the state of Arizona? It really does remind me of.
Who?
This is a slice of Evan Mecum. When you listen to Evan Mecum, people had this.
Now we're going to the racist thing.
Not even that part of it. But here's a guy who doesn't have that filter.
Yeah.
Who, when he thinks something, he says it.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's a completely separate question, whether what he's saying is rational or not.
Right.
Or makes any sense or not. But there is, at a visceral level, we love the idea that what somebody says is what they really believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And those are two different things. Do I think their ideas are wacko? That may be a separate issue, but do I love the idea that they say what they believe? You know what the definition of a political gaffe is?
No, give it to me.
You get caught speaking the truth.
That's right. Okay.
You know, and that's what a lot of them are. There's something that you know you can't say because it's not going to go over real well, and you say it anyway, and then you end up walking it back.
So America needs to understand that we need to decide as a country what we want. Do we want a shrewd businessman running at the helm? Do we want another politician? Because that's all that's going up against him. It's Trump versus every other politician that waited their turn to be next in line.
Let's look at some of the statements. Like, I'm going to build a giant wall, and I'm going to force Mexico to pay for it.
That's awesome.
Like, yeah, right.
Built like your neighbor, you know, you want to build a wall with your neighbor and you're like, hey, can we go in on this? Because there's two of us. We win. You win. We win.
And the neighbor says, no, I want you to pay for it. You know what?
Dang
if
it.
You want that wall, you pay for it.
Right. Exactly.
They don't want a wall. They want a wall on their southern border, not on their northern border.
Okay, but you're going back to the pieces. Overall, do we want a shrewd businessman who's done well, by the way? People are saying these bankruptcies, you don't understand business if you're faulting Trump for bankruptcies. You don't get it. These are business moves. So don't knock him for the, just do your homework.
Let's look at what this businessman has done. For example, the largest chunk of his political donations, you know, has gone to Democrats.
Great. Good. A guy likes to reach across the aisle.
You know why he said, no, it's not reaching across the aisle. That's greasing palms. He's a developer. He says, I operate in New York State. New York State is run by the Democrats, so I pay off Democrats.
Well, not anymore, because de Blasio said this week that he's not going to do any more. New York City will not do any more deals with Donald Trump. You moron. Why? No, he will. He's going to do it with one of the subcorporations that no one knows anything about. You're darn right. He's going to be doing business with Donald Trump.
Well, he may
Once
not
again,
be,
but politician.
You can't stop him from doing business in the city of New York, to be
politician,
sure.
And shrewd businessman. I'm telling you, I would rather a shrewd businessman run the country at this
Except
point than any of these clowns.
I look at every proposal that he said that he's going to do, and they're every one of them is
base.
Laughable.
You know that.
Yeah.
He's playing to the
You're
base.
Not going to get Mexico to pay for the wall that you want. By
no.
the way, if you did build it, it wouldn't work. Look at the Great Wall of China,
well,
100 times larger.
Saying? What's everyone else saying? We're going to fix the economy. We're going to make America great again. We're going to do blah, blah, blah.
Look at the details. How are you going to do it?
The same junk. At least this guy's getting to at least a micro level. He's speaking at a micro level, at least.
He's appealing to gut instincts.
Yes.
In a way that resonates with a significant chunk of people.
Thank you. Yep. A very significant chunk of people. And by the way, that significant chunk of people are the ones that show up and vote.
Yep.
So that's you got to understand. The guy is he's not going to be the president of the United States and I'm sure you're
And he's not going to be the Republican nominee either.
He won't. But he's going to wreck a lot of things on the way. He's going to come in like a bull in a china
shop. Here's the fun thing. If the Republican Party continues to dump on him the way they're dancing around right now and he gets ticked off and he runs as a third party candidate, I guarantee you that Hillary Clinton is next president.
I'll agree with you there. But here's the deal.
That's what they're terrified of, by the way.
Here's the great part about this, though, for the other Republican people in the race, right? MSNBC's focus on nobody but him. MSNBC has a target solely on Donald Trump, and that's who they're going after. Everyone else is just under the limelight. Hillary was thinking she was going to skate into this with an entire cable network leading the way, driving her to the White House, and they're focused on Donald Trump.
Hey, look, the Trump Show, you got to admit it's the best show in town.
Amen to that, brother. I ain't going wrong with that. Hey, good show today, Doc. I appreciate it. All right, on behalf of everybody here at KTAR News, thanks for spending some time with us. Don't you just love this music? All right, it's the Think Tank, KTAR News.